November 13th, 2018. This is the Hermetic Hour. I'm your host, the old wizard, Poe Grunion, and tonight we review and update the activities of our active and associate membership. We will discuss website participation and access. We will announce upcoming activities, events, and programs for the remainder of this year. We are completing the Enochian Aethers and looking forward to the Seven Gates Festival and the Halloween Moat Mass. Now, this show is primarily for members, but it should be of interest to all our listeners. So, if you want to find out what the people in the back room are doing, tune in and check us out. Of course, the black room is not the back room. The back room is not the black room, it's the blue room, because we paint our temples dark blue, as you know. As most of you know, this is the age of the Internet. And if you have an organization, you must have a website. And if you are a magical order and a mystery school, you must have a private website where you can provide instruction and discuss matters that are esoteric, religious, and philosophical. Our church members must affirm when they join us that they are, and I quote this, they're free from religious, fraternal, philosophical, or political obligations that might compel them to misuse or misrepresent the teachings they receive. Now, if they are to honor this pledge, then we must also honor it by providing a private website open to members only. Form is not easy to find in the Internet's social media universe. 10 years ago, we started with Ning, and Soror Zandria developed a beautiful website for the Church of the Hermetic Sciences, which gave associate members and OTA officers a very usable, friendly, and private home. Now, each member and officer could have their own home page and interact with each other socially and esoterically. And we had lessons and exams available. Photos could be posted and events announced. The website had some drawbacks, but it worked, and it worked well for several years. But then our membership increased beyond the limit Ning would support. We created a new website with a new provider, the British Social Go Company. Now, they had a good reputation, and they offered most of the features we had on the Ning site. So we built a new private website on their platform and invited all our members to move, and most of them did. Now, things went along well for about 2 years, but then last year, the Social Go platform began to deteriorate. The management stopped supporting clubs and organizations and began to emphasize a format similar to Instagram. But it still provided us with website service. Then about 2 weeks ago, they unexpectedly closed down our website and all others that were using their original platform. We lost important files that they have so far refused to recover for us. Then 2 days ago, they told us that they had mailed us a letter advising us of their intention to terminate their old websites. We and several of their other customers never received this letter. We and other members lost 3 years of files, blogs, graphics, correspondence, and memorabilia. So far, Social Go hasn't offered us as much as an apology. So I'll apologize to all of you for this mess. But there is good news. We kept the old Ning website, and we have switched our domain name, chsota.org, back to it. So those of you who were on board when Social Go hit the iceberg can now row your lifeboats over to the old Ning website and sign in there. And right now I'll mention that the secret access password is the same one written on the back of your ID card. There is room for you. It will be just like home. And for those of you listening who are not yet associate members, please go to this website and read the instructions for applying on the public page. Yes, go to chsota.org. And we appreciate it if if all of you associate members who are wondering where the website was, it's chsota.org. So that's our domain, and that now accesses the old NING site. You can go there and get right back on. And if you have any problems, just email us, and we'll get you in. Okay, now let's talk about non-internet activities and events. Our Autumn Equinox seasonal ceremony, the Festival of Seven Gates, is coming up on the 22nd of September. That's right on the equinox. That'll be here at Rivendell. And I'll be sending out invitations to most of you. And on the 26th of September, very honored Frater Memnonides will present a lecture on the Comte de Saint-Germain and his music at Fauché Masonic Lodge in Culver City. Now, we're going to film this event and hopefully release it as a video, a DVD, which you can purchase. You can purchase it. You'll be able to purchase it at a discount as an associate member. Don't forget Halloween is coming up, and you don't want to miss the infamous Moat Mass here at Rivendell. You remember, Moat comes by with the goblet, Lord Byron's skull goblets, and says, "What say you to honor the dead?" And I want to miss that. It's in the works. That will be coming out before the winter holiday season. One of them, Adamson's Quest and Shamgar the Purple Dragon. And I'm just finishing up the illustrations for Shamgar. And after that, we have Hermetic Yoga Volume 2. That's the Rosicrucian Yoga book. I'd like to mention that we're completing the Enochian Aether program after years and years and years. You know, we kept starting the Aether program, and we never finished it. And then we'd have a new cycle of people coming through. We'd start it all over again. And so finally, after all these years, we're finally up into the spiritual mental plane. We're up into the higher aethers. We just finished the fifth aether, lit, L-I-T. And that's where you shoot the arrow of truth into the heavens and see what planet and sign of the zodiac it hits and find your truth. We've actually discovered, thanks to Hulson as Keto and all, that the original source of the Enochian Aether system was the Valentinian Gnostic 38 Aeons. And Frater Solomon who, as most of you know, a wonderful biblical scholar, Frater Solomon has reconstructed Valentinian prayers for each one of the aeons, and so we've added that to our Enochian system. We're working on the seventh degree of Craterapoa, which we already have it, but we're working on presenting it, and we will present and confer the seventh degree of Craterapoa, the top degree in the system, before the end of the year. Now, this will involve Merlin, the Round Table, the Holy Guardian Angels, all three of them. As some of you may know, King Arthur's Round Table is definitely related to the 12 signs of the zodiac, definitely related to the labors of Hercules, and it is a profoundly magical device, the Round Table. It's a magical circle, and so that will definitely figure in the seventh degree. My magical science fiction novel, Drill Master, is having a revival. I just sent several copies off to Amazon, and you can get it from Amazon, and if you like it, I would really appreciate it if you gave it a good review. Now, that's Drill Master, D-R-E-L-L, Trail Master. And now we have shows. We have some Hermetic Hour shows coming up. We're going to do one on Kurt Seligman's Mirror of Magic. This was a 1948 survey of magic that Kurt Seligman, the famous surrealist, compiled this book. He was a magical scholar and had wonderful illustrations. He got the illustration from the Magus, from Agrippa, and from Levy. He had a wonderful collection of magic books left over from the you know, from the 19th century. And this book came out in 1948, and I've been asked to review it on the Hermetic Hour by the publisher, and I certainly am going to do that. And I told him, I said, you know, I have a special place in my heart for this book, because my copy, my 1948 copy of The Mirror of Magic, was given to me by my master, Frederick McLaren Adams, and it has his notes all through it. And it was the first book on magic that Fred ever bought. And he gave it to me, you know, one of the treasures from his youth. And he gave it to me, along with his Solomonic sword, which you can see in us using in various videos. Now we'll also have our good friend and honored colleague, Lon Duquette, as a guest, discussing his new forthcoming book, The Son of Chicken Kabbalah, and I suspect now that's a working title, but whatever the book is, you know, that, of course, the kind of fictitious author of the Chicken Kabbalah was Rabbi Lamet Ben Clifford. Lon said that all of us Hermetic Kabbalists, we needed our own rabbi who was sort of on our side, because we've been picked on, you know, by so many of the traditional Kabbalists have picked on us for so long, and we needed our own rabbi. So he created this Rabbi Lamet Ben Clifford and wrote this delightful book on Kabbalah. It's one of the best introductory books on Kabbalah you could possibly read, and I've done, you know, we've done shows on it. We had Lon on the show talking about it, and it's called the Chicken Kabbalah of Rabbi Lamet Ben Clifford. Now Lon's coming out with The Son of the Chicken Kabbalah, and so we'll have him on in November discussing this one. And, you know, that's about covers the information that we have, but you know, I thought that what I would do, seeing as how this show is primarily focused on associate members, that I would read some of the memos that I've been sending out on the associate member program, and perhaps this would answer some questions, and also some of you folks who are not associate members yet, we want you to be, we want to encourage you to be, you know, learn a little bit more about the program if I read these memos. Now, both these memos, one of them was my Tidings, my regular blog, Tidings from Rivendell, Volume 2, Number 2, February 13th, 2016. And this one is entitled New Advancement and Degree Entitlement Program. And I said you're going to find out what the boys in the back room are doing. Now this is back room stuff, so enjoy it. SKT Ipsum, many of you in the associate member program have been wondering, advance in the OTA, if there's no lodge near enough to me to affiliate with and work my way up through the degrees. Okay. So you do your lessons, and you do the pathworking questions. You get the pathworking DVD, and you answer the questions on that. This makes you eligible for a Pastor Forrest first degree initiation, if you could find a lodge that would give you one, either in California or Texas. Now, needless to say, this present concept does not seem to be working very well. We made the mistake of thinking that we could apply pre-internet age outreach growth models such as Masonic regional jurisdictions and Wiccan coven swarmings to a worldwide social media universe. This has already caused us problems in administration and jurisdiction, resulting in the present policy that no warrant or certificate of advancement can be issued without a CHS corporate seal affixed to it. The reason why these problems have arisen is because of the nature of magic itself. You would not give a student a black belt in a martial art just because he has read all the books and can pass a written test on the subject. Like kung fu or ninjutsu, or ballet, magic is an art form. Like kung fu, ninjutsu, or ballet, magic is an art form. It's an art form. A psychodynamic art form. An interactive psychodynamic art form. You're either a magician or you are not. be necessarily born a magician. You can become a magician, but you have to work at it. Just like you may not be born a martial artist, but if you work hard enough at it, you can become one. Now, you joined CHSOTA because we have the reputation of being real magicians, and you want to be a real magician. No one can make you a magician through a mail-order correspondence course or, God forbid, an astral initiation. We will not initiate you over the Internet, but we know we have to find a way to get you through the program to receive our teachings and training, which alone qualifies you for the initiations. Now, we believe that enthusiastic new members would, want to start their own lodges, and so we based our growth plans entirely on this assumption, that new members would recruit their friends and those interested in magic in their locations and form encampments and from which full-fledged lodges would grow. Well, it worked to some extent and is still working in some areas, but it fails to address the needs of associate members who do not or cannot attend or create a lodge. Unfortunately, this seems to be the major percentage of our associate members. We have a new plan, and with your help and the help of our lodges, we think it will work. We are going to run training and qualification for all degrees from Rivendell here on the website platform. And when you have completed the lessons and requirements for each degree, you will be awarded a letter of entitlement, which you have to request, of course, entitling you to receive the degree in a formal initiation from any lodge agreeing to bestow it. Now, please understand that entitlement does not mean that we are communicating the degree, only your entitlement to have the degree conferred upon you. Now, when you have obtained an appointment from a lodge, we will provide your certificate with the corporate seal for your hosting lodge to confer the degree upon you. Training you for your next degree will be split between us for your intellectual requirements and your new mother lodge for physical and temple requirements. You will be responsible to defray the host lodge's expenses for initiation and subsequent training. This outlines the program from the first Pastophorus degree to the second Neochorus degree. Now, that's followed by the retreat, which Milano for us. The retreat will be a more complex procedure and dealt with in future publications. Well, we had to say that at this point because, as you may know, if you've been following our program and know anything about the OTA, the third degree, Milano Forest, is the Holy Guardian Angel Retreat, and it was originally developed by Russell and an outline of it was published in Culling's Secret Curriculum of the Secret Order GBG, and we, and Culling was our senior advisor years ago, and we picked it up from them. It's a very excellent program. You do a 5-day retreat. You go into the temple and you stay there for, stay there for 3 days. You go in usually, and because most of us are working people, you go in Friday night and you come out Sunday afternoon, and you do 22 rituals. You do a ritual for all the paths of the Tree of Life, and use the tarot cards. It's a very, very profound experience, and something a lot of people don't know, especially a lot of Thelemites don't know this, is that Abramelin the Mage is very, very much a flawed book, because they're only dealing with one Holy Guardian Angel. There are three of them, and that comes directly from the Pomander of Hermestris Megasus, and which is repeated in Agrippa's occult philosophy, an outline of the, and quite briefly, the three guardian angels. One of them is your ascendant, the angel attributed to your ascendant, and then there is another one, the angel of the planet that rules your ascendant, and the third and most important guardian angel is the one that connects you to God above the zodiac and above the planets, and above the zodiac, and you might call this your conscience, the little voice that tells you, you don't want to do that. That's. Whereas these other angels, they will follow the proclivities of your astrological view of your birth. Now, this is all laid out in the old manuscript that started us off, the Lamegaton, and this is all outlined in a book in the Lamegaton called the Pauline Art, and I encourage you to check this out. And this is the way it really is now. One holy guardian angel retreat is not what it is. These three angels you're going for. I'm going to read this other memo that we have that we sent out. The first memo that I read you was February 13, 2016, New Advancement and Degree Entitlement Program. This is an important memo on the lessons, your training lessons. And this one is dated October 4th, 2017. Oskete Ipsum. It has become apparent that several associate members are going through the program without doing the training exercises. The exams for each lesson are plug-in answers from the lesson's text. They only establish that the student has read the material. All correct answers do not imply that the student has mastered the lesson. Good students who do advance in the program give us reports on their mastery of the techniques or ask us for further assistance in hypnotic yoga and visualization training. We have been reluctant to attempt testing these skills via email because magic, like martial arts or advanced yoga, from a remote position, or to learn from a book as those who have struggled through Franz Barden have discovered. Magic is a hands-on teacher-to-student activity. However, it has become apparent that we have to attempt remote instruction because too many students will not do the work unless they are made responsible for doing it. Therefore, we are adding the following requirements to the lesson program. Lesson 1, the agenda for the first degree. Now, agenda is a story of the degree, and a good agenda will give you virtually everything in the degree without the secret words and the handshakes and some of the Kabbalah, the formulas. Now, along with the examination, the student will inform us that he and or she has obtained or ordered a copy of Lacan's Self-Hypnotism, Its Technique and Use in Daily Living. This, I think, is still the best book on self-hypnosis that you're going to find. It may be out of print right now, but there are lots of used copies. It's called Self-Hypnotism, Its Technique and Use in Daily Living by Leslie M. Lacan. Now, I will stop for just a moment and tell you that self-hypnosis is just as important as yoga in developing your magical ability. And one of the main reasons for this is that without self-hypnosis, you can't channel. You just can't because let's say you're sitting around the altar and you're staring at the crystal and you're in a trance and we're invoking the archangel and the angel is there and I ask you, I say, Friar so-and-so, does the angel speak through you? Well, if you haven't done your self-hypnosis training, you're not going to be able to do it. And you need to develop that, the voice of your subconscious, because that's what the angel's going to use. This is absolutely essential. So you have to do this. You have to actually do this work. Brother Suan, are you there?
I most certainly am, Oak.
Oh, good.
Hello.
Good. Excellent. Brother Suan is our lodge master in Dallas, and this is the show for the associate members. So, you want to give us a report on what you're doing and what you got online and what you got lined up?
Well, sure. I'll go ahead and give the rundown of some of the experiments that we're conducting at UBAR right now. So right now we're doing invocations of Shem, that are associated with the decans where the planets are in people's natal charts. So just trying to get a feel for what a natal chart says about a person from an occult perspective and how those angels communicate and what we can kind of gain from that with the planetary angels.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. No, you were taking that course in classical pagan astrology?
The courses I've taken is I've taken Chris Brennan's Hellenistic Astrology course. So that's Greek astrology from around 1 BC up through around 70 AD, AD, that time period. So it's like really just after the Hellenistic era, but it kind of goes into all of the writers are referencing the writings of Hermes and referencing the writings of Nicepso and Pedasiris, but it's not going super deep.
A lot of Ptolemy's Tetrabiblos and Almagest, right?
Well, it's there were different strains. So there during the whenever they started doing the back to Ptolemy movement, so like William Lilly and the astrologers towards the end of when astrology was working in the Renaissance. When they started going back to Ptolemy, they started dumping a bunch of stuff that they thought the Persians had brought in and the Arabs had brought in. But the old Hellenistic text actually shows that a lot of those techniques that Ptolemy didn't record were being used by the Greeks, and they didn't have a Persian origin or an Arabic origin. They actually had a Greek origin. So
yeah. I'm still trying to figure out where the Golden Dawn got this, starting their system off at Regulus. That came from the Persians, didn't it?
I really don't know. I really need to go back and study the cipher manuscript and some of the Golden Dawn astrology stuff so I can get a hand on that. I really don't know why they would do that, but I suspect that someone who was more studied in astrology probably answered that.
Let me point out to our listeners, if some of this was going over their heads, and obviously, no pun intended, over their heads, that astrology, over their head. Astrology is one of the key Hermetic sciences, and I say it's a science, and the reason is that there's a tremendous, the scientific method is that you observe. You observe conditions in nature, in this case in the heavens, and the effects that they associated with them, and you compile evidence on that, and then you make a theory based upon the phenomenon observed and the conditions result, and that is the so-called scientific method. Well, by gosh, that is the way astrology was developed. So I think we can call it a science. You can call it an art science, I think, because a lot of it is artistic. Like so much of the Hermetic work is in the area of art. So let me go ahead and finish this memo on the lessons here. So lesson one, the legenda for the first degree, along with the examination, the student will inform us that he or she has obtained and ordered a copy of Lacan's self-hypnotism, his technique and use in daily living. And before we got into astrology, I was explaining that you need to work on your self-hypnosis in order to be able to channel. So when we're sitting around the altar and we're all locked on the crystal ball and we're invoking the angel, and your master asks you, well, Fretter, or Soror, does the angel speak through you? You've already developed that dialogue that you have with your subconscious mind, and the angel or the spirit can use that voice and will speak right through you. And this, by the way, the first time this happens, you will be amazed. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you start saying things that you had no idea you were going to say. That's magic. and you know, why pace somebody like Rompha or somebody like this $1,500 for a weekend to go listen to them do this when you can learn to do it yourself? Lesson two, along with the examination, the student will submit a written report on his or her progress on calming the mind, rushing thoughts exercise, the sinking pearl, and the exercise on the contemplation of the pearl. Now, let me tell you people something. I have people who have even people who have gone through the third degree retreat who still haven't completely shut up that chattering monkey in their head. You have to learn to get that monkey under control, because you cannot do this. You can't do magic if you have this chatter going on in your mind, if you can't focus your mind. And the first thing that you have to do to focus is you have to learn to calm the mind, not empty the mind. That's Eastern. And the mind is the enemy as far as the Eastern magicians are concerned. In the West, the mind is you. That's your weapon. It's what you use. So the mind is your friend, but you have to calm it. You can't have this unwanted chatter. And I know the chatter is things you're worried about at the job, things you're worried about at school, and all that kind of stuff. Yep, you got to get over that. You have to train yourself. And we have the exercises for you in the Book of Solomon's Magic. We have several of them. And we have exercises in our training program that will help you calm the mind. You have to learn to do it. Now, the student will build lesson three. The student will train him or herself in self-hypnosis, report on achieving the arm lift effect using the Chevrolet pendulum. The student will build and use the creative visualization kit and report on results. All these practical exercise reports will be submitted with the examination for the list lessons. Now, believe it or not, it is hard to get people to do this. They just I don't know why it is, but some people think, oh, well, yeah, well, just buy Polk's book and read it, and then you know, just join the Oda, and then all of a sudden we'll be a magician. No. You want to be a magician, you have to work at it, and you have to work at it just as hard as you would if you want to get a black belt in a martial art. You have to, as a different kind of work. And it's not as, it isn't much of a physical strain, but it is what you have to do. And if you think that we make it hard, then I suggest you read Franz Barden's Initiation into Hermetics, and then realize just how hard he makes it. And then you will appreciate, then you can go back to the Book of Solomon's Magic and back to our lessons and think, oh, boy, you know, oh, how, why... Why do people struggle through Barden when they can do this? Now, when I say the student will build a creative visualization kit, that's a little glass, a little knife, a little paintbrush with a red handle. The knife has a little yellow handle, and a disc. It's black on one side and white on the other. And you use these little tools. And they're easy to make and easy to handle, and they're like your grail hallows. They're like your pentacle and your cup and your wand and your sword, and you will use them in your visualization exercises. Brother Suwan, you've been through this. Would you comment on this? A lot of this we have to credit Bill Gray with these tools. And of course, Barden, we credit Barden with the whole idea of magical visualization training, but we have to credit Bill Gray with the magical tools. Could you comment on this a little bit?
Sure. So, I mean, the assembling of the kit, it's really, really simple. I mean, you just have to go out, and I bought a cheap paring knife and painted the handle yellow, and I got a clear shot glass, and the paintbrush was easy to find. And then when it came to getting the disc, I went to the craft section, I think, of Walmart, or I might have gone to Michael's. Like, I buy a lot of stuff at Michael's. and bought a cork round, and I painted half of it one side black and the other side white. And then I would just go through the visualization exercises using the brush to paint the various letters and words onto the sides of the pentacle with the holy names. And that's how I trained myself up to be able to do the visualizations while doing the LBRP and LIRP. I also started as an associate member. So if you stick with it and you do everything as outlined in the books, stuff happens. I'm not the Ugis Crowley fan, but it's like he says, if you just do the work, things begin to happen, and they're not exactly what you expect, but they're not exactly what you don't expect either. And this system will do awesome things for you if you just kind of follow through with it and follow it step by step.
Thank you for that, because, you know, sometimes I feel like that, you know, I can start preaching this, but then they're saying, oh, yeah, well, that's just old Pope, you know, trying to sell his system, and I need to hear from those who have done it and were successful with it, because it does work, and I strongly encourage you to get Barden's initiation into Hermetics, and not just so you can see how we managed to improve the visualization training, which you will see, but Barden's initiation into Hermetics is a very valuable book, and we definitely want you to get that. Now, to finish this little memo, which goes out in every one of the membership kits, we realize that this will slow down the training period for some people, but that is a good thing. Like any sport, art form, or musical instrument, mastery, magic takes time, dedication, and discipline. We certainly have developed methods to make it easier and have learned Eastern techniques to enhance our Western system, but this is really what any good school does. However, just because we've made it easier doesn't mean you don't have to work at it. It is like the difference between Italian schools and fencing. And like a French fencing master, I will still make you break a sweat until you master the sword. Or if you prefer a lightsaber, then, as Yoda would say, then practice you will. And I ended with good magic. Now, that concludes the second memo. Brother Swan, would you like to give any more advice and counsel to these associate members? I want to encourage them. I want to encourage them to proceed, because magic is the art of kings, the art of the mind. And the art of the soul, and I somehow or other, I want so much for them to sort of be infected by our enthusiasm. So I'm going to pass it over to you, enthusiasm.
Okay, I'll give that a shot. So one of the places I usually start when working with my own students is I start with asking them what they think they want and exactly where they think magic is. And I start to really think about that. What do we really want to happen with this? And then we start doing the exercises. And I keep coming back to that, what do you really want to accomplish with this? And then you start going small. Well, what can you accomplish with this? And you start to do little things, but it takes building that mental muscle memory and building the ability to visualize, working with the angels, doing the path workings. And you'll start to see small changes happen, and then they turn into larger changes, and your thinking starts to change, and it becomes more efficient, and things start to just happen that bring you into open up opportunities that will allow you to go places that you couldn't possibly have imagined yourself going, things that you hoped you would be able to do. And that's really what magic starts to open up for you. And that's really it. Find us. We're all over the internet. Go into the forums. As an associate member, you have access to the forums. We're all there, and we can help you master these techniques and get you through this training so that you can really start to live in a way you can't imagine right now.
Well, that's what I couldn't have put it better, and that's why I asked you to put it. Very, very good. Anyway, this is we have a lot to look forward to, and we have and we want to get all of the members that were over on the on that Social Go site over back over on the Ning site. And we wanted to get you back over. There's plenty of room for you. And we want to help you get through your lessons. And by the way, I have the agenda for the second degree, and it's very, very detailed. And that's going to be in the that's going to be reposted over on the Ning site. And when you have a letter of entitlement, this is one thing I didn't mention about the letter of entitlement. I better make sure. You can go ahead, if you got a letter of entitlement for Pastor Forrest, if you have a letter of entitlement, you can then proceed to study for Neo Chorus, for the second degree. And the second degree, by the way, is Goetia, that is Circle Triangle in Evocation and Invocation. So you can start to study, but you need that letter of entitlement for Pastor Forrest. And even if you can't quite manage to get up the airfare to Texas or to get to California, then at least you can start studying toward your second degree. So we're not trying to hold you back, but you have to understand that if we are to be a genuine magical order, and we certainly are, and we certainly are going to continue to be, we cannot initiate you on the internet. We just can't do that. We can't initiate you through the mail. We can't initiate you on the astral. You have to be physically initiated, and that is a conferral. That's conferring initiation. So you want to work toward that. But as I say, as far as the study is concerned, you can get from first through second degree, and then after you receive a second degree initiation. At that point, if you physically get your second degree initiation, then we'll figure out a way to get you through your retreat. That should be supervised, actually. That's a challenge, but everybody has to do it. Prior Suanya, do you want to mention a little bit about the retreat so they kind of have an idea what that experience is like?
Oh, that would be spoiling, but I'll go ahead and say some stuff. Honestly, if you don't take the time to really master these techniques before you go on that retreat, you're really going to disappoint yourself. The retreat itself, there are other shows that you go into detail about exactly what's going on, but you end up doing a lot of the work that you've been doing all along, but in a more systematic approach. And it's a really awesome initiatic experience. Because you go in and you've done the various purifications that are required, and you end up with a little bit of sleep deprivation in addition to constant meditation and reflection. It is a challenge to keep up with it, but it is well worth it, and I cherish my HJ retreat. That was a really, really meaningful thing, and it changed the course of where I was going with my life. So I'm much happier and more fulfilled now that I've done that and I've gotten the guidance that you get from doing that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, a little bit of something on the seventh degree, King Arthur's Round Table. King Arthur's Round Table is a zodiac, and each one of those seats around the round table is a constellation of the zodiac. Except for the one seat, the Siege Perilous. Now, this is a seventh degree secret, but you'll appreciate it, and this gives people something to look forward to. But you will re- recapitulate your retreat in the seventh degree on King Arthur's Round Table, because you've got three guardian angels, two of them associated with your zodiac, and one of them associated with the higher power. Now, if you understand the symbolism of the Round Table, you will understand. Then you understand what that 13th chair is all about, and that 13th chair is referred to as the Siege Perilous, and that, of course, is I think I've said enough to. I know Frater Suon knows what I'm talking about.
If you paid close attention and you followed everything, you'll get it. But don't try too hard if you don't. And we look forward to showing you one day.
Oh yeah. Well, we'll get. I want to get the. You're gonna receive a seventh degree pretty within a few months, and then some of our folks here that are up for it will. I'm just giving enough. Hints to where I think that our listeners can figure out what it's all about, especially if they know anything about the Round Table and King Arthur. And let's just put it this way: it's a lot more significant than Monty Python. and anyway, I think this has just about covered everything we needed to cover tonight. I just want to remind people: go on to chsota.org. Those of you who aren't members yet, read the instructions on the public page and get with us. And those of you who are associate members, get on there, chsota.org, and remember your password is on the back of your ID card. And any other problems, just email us and we'll get you on board. And I think that just about wraps it up. Frater Suon, thank you so much for coming on board. And meanwhile, everybody, good magic. Bye-bye.